Let us open God's word together and center our hearts and minds this morning on our God and our Savior, beginning with scripture and prayer, reading our opening scripture from Psalm 145, verses 8 through 9. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. Let us pray. O Lord, we thank you for your mercy and goodness to us, that you are slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love in your Son, Jesus. Thank you that you are our faithful shepherd, and that you are leading us in paths of righteousness, even unto eternal life, which you give to us in Christ. Amen. Let's continue looking at the Word of God from the Gospel of John, chapter 10. We will read the entirety of the chapter, beginning at verse 1. The Word of God. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I received from my Father. There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, He has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him? Others said, These are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? At that time, the Feast of Dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple, in the colonnade of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not part of my flock. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. The Jews picked up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered, I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of them are you going to stone me? The Jews answered him, It is not for a good work that we are going to stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God." Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, 'I said, you are gods'? If he called them gods to whom the word of God came, and scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him who the Father consecrated and sent into the world, 'You are blaspheming, because I said, I am the Son of God'? If I am not doing the works of my Father, then do not believe me. But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me, and I am in the Father." Again they sought to arrest him, but he escaped from their hands. He went away across the Jordan to the place where John had been baptizing at first, and there he remained. And many came to him, and they said, "John did no sign, but everything that John said about this man was true." And many believed in him there. Having heard the word of God, let us go to the Lord in prayer. O Lord, we thank you that you have sent the great shepherd, Jesus, to give salvation to us. Thank you that Jesus laid down his life willingly for ours. Thank you that your grace is greater than our sins, and that Jesus' blood is sufficient for us. Help us to remember your mercies, faithfulness, and steadfast love, so that we do not become weary or faint-hearted. Help us to not grow lazy in our struggle against sin, but cause us to remember the price of our salvation, the blood of Jesus, and so not consider our wickedness as a trivial matter. By your Spirit at work in our hearts, enable us to walk in the light even as you, Lord, are light. Give to us increasing faithfulness to confess and repent of our sins, trusting not in ourselves but in Jesus Christ alone for salvation. Continue to protect all of us during these difficult times of shutdown. Comfort those who are grieving, sustain those who are struggling, and encourage those who are downcast. Give to each of your people a confident assurance of your unchanging presence and love, even as the circumstances around us change continually. Bless the work of the church and cause your word not to return void. Build us up at Covenant in our faith and add to our number by your word and Spirit those who are being saved. Protect those who serve in dangerous situations, particularly those serving in military and law enforcement and those serving on the front lines of medical care. Bless each of us in our families, that husbands and wives would love one another selflessly, that children would honor their parents, and that singles would find joy and contentment in their service to you. Help each of us to remember that we are to love others because you have first loved us in Christ. Enable us to meet again soon for worship and bring a swift end to this pandemic and all the disruption it has caused in the world. Build your church, wherever she is gathered, all for your own glory as our God and King. We remember also the prayer which our Savior taught to his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Take a moment now and pause the recording and sing to the Lord. You can use the hymn audio provided if you are on the email list at Covenant, or otherwise sing God's praises and then resume the recording. Let us now turn our attention to the Word of God from the Psalms. This morning, looking at Psalm 23, beginning at verse 1. The Word of God, give your attention to it. A Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me. In the presence of my enemies, you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This 23rd Psalm, also a Psalm of David, is perhaps one of the most well-known psalms in the English-speaking world and culture, and for good reason. This psalm speaks of the Lord as our great shepherd, that if you are a believer, God is your shepherd. And the experience of danger, the experience of being afraid, the experience of being anxious, these things are common in the fallen world. We need a shepherd. The shepherd protects the sheep from the wolves. And we need a shepherd who will protect us. And this psalm is a psalm of delight in God as our shepherd. And its message is very simple to you, that if you are a Christian, God is your shepherd. You do not need to be afraid. God protects you. God leads you. God provides for you. And God is doing all of this for your eternal good. You might feel in distress. You might feel uncertain about what your life and what the future holds. You may not know. Are good things coming or not in the immediate future? And yet this psalm asks you to look to God and to look to his son Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, and to consider, are you believing that God is with you, that God is leading you, and that God will provide good to you and for you? This is a psalm that calls us to look to Jesus and to remember his death and his resurrection for us, and to conclude, God is my shepherd. I am walking in the valley of the shadow of death, but God is with me, and so I will not be afraid. I will not be downcast. I will not be discouraged to the point of despair, because I see Jesus and I know God is with me. That is where this psalm calls you to go. And we're going to look at it in three parts. In verses 1-3, we see that God is the shepherd who leads. In verse 4, we see that God is the shepherd who protects. And then in verses 5 and 6, God is the shepherd who provides. Verse 1, the theme of the psalm: the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. One of the perhaps most well-known lines from the Psalms. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness. This very pristine, comforting image of the shepherd, God himself, leading us in green, verdant, lush pasture by calm waters, not rapids, but a calm brook flowing through a green valley. An image of peace. God is the shepherd who leads us in peace and in peacefulness. Now, this is what God is doing for you, even now. David here saying, I shall not want. Of course, that's a slightly older use of the word to want. David is not saying that he won't have desires. David is saying he will not be in need of things. God is my shepherd. I shall not be in need. And why is that? It's because God himself is leading you. And this image of God as shepherd, it's expressed strongly here in the Psalms, but of course it's not unique to Psalm 23. We read John 10 earlier as our New Testament reading, where Jesus himself claims to be the good shepherd who calls his sheep, who knows them by name, right? That God knows you by name and he calls you as his own, and he leads you. He leads you in green pastures, still waters. He restores your soul. And he does this, verse 3, for his own name's sake. When we say that God glorifies himself, when we say that God is jealous for his own name, that God will not give his glory to another, right? These themes of scripture, that God does not allow someone else to steal his fame. Ultimately, this is for the good of you as the believer. God has said that he will save you, that if you believe in the Lord Jesus, you will be saved. That is what God's sheep do. They hear the voice of Jesus and they believe because he is the good shepherd. They recognize the sheep follow their shepherd. They don't follow strangers. They don't follow others. They follow the shepherd. And God has said that he will do this. And God is true to his word. And so our hope that God leads us in righteousness, that God is providing for you, your hope that God is leading you to good things. It doesn't depend, the psalm says, on you. It depends on God himself. God leads you for his own name's sake. God glorifies himself in saving sinful sheep, you and me, through the blood of the shepherd laid down willingly for us, the blood of Christ. And so I ask you to consider, are you believing these things? Do you believe what the psalm says? Or does this seem like simply the words of someone else written 3,000 years ago? Do you recognize in your own life, that God is leading you in paths of righteousness, that He is restoring your soul, that He is leading you in peaceful paths. Fundamentally, that is true because of who the Lord is. The Lord is your shepherd, and it is for His own name's sake that He leads you. Our lives go through turmoil. Any of you who have ever had young children in the house, I very much doubt that your life feels like peaceful green pastures and still waters at all times. If you've ever worked in a busy or a high-stress workplace, it doesn't feel like green pasture. It doesn't feel like still waters. And yet, these things are still true. God is leading you, and He is leading you in paths of righteousness, in paths of peace. God is accomplishing His good purposes for you, even in the midst of the chaos. He is your shepherd. And this is a profound comfort, even though it can be difficult to grasp at times in the midst of uncertain circumstances. God Himself is certain, and what God is doing is certain. He has shown it to you in Jesus. The Good Shepherd laid down His life for the sheep, And if you are a believer, you have seen this. And if you are not a believer, you have but to turn to the Lord Jesus and believe. The gospel is freely offered to you. So God leads you as your shepherd, and God protects you as your shepherd. David says in verse 4, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." David recognizes that his life's experience is one of walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Death's shadow extends over the valley of this life. If you have ever been in the mountains, in a deep valley, you know how intimidating it can look to watch the sun go down behind the mountains, and a strange dark, even in the early mid-afternoon, can come over the shadowed side of the valley or the shadowed side of the mountain. That's what this life is. It lives in death's shadow. It looms large over everything. We can't escape our own mortality. We've had good reason in the news the past few weeks. Everybody considering the shortness of life, how everything can fall apart in an instant. Death's shadow looms. And we can't see beyond it in this life. Just as in a large mountain range, you can see a few of the mountains in front of you, but you can't see beyond to what lies on the other side. In this life, apart from Christ, all we see is death's shadow looming large, and we don't know what comes after it. We can't see beyond it. It seems to cover everything in a gloomy dark of anxiety and fear and futility and frustration. And yet, if you are a Christian, the offer of the gospel is that as you look to Jesus, you see that death holds no power over you anymore. Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, of which this psalm is speaking, Jesus laid down his life, and then he took it back up again on the third day. He rose from the dead. He conquered death. And so David says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. He won't be afraid. And he says why? It's because God is with him. Verse 4, "For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." God comforts his people. God comforts you. And he does this first and foremost with the work and the person of Jesus. Death's shadow is the only thing that you will ever see of death if you are a Christian. Death passes over you. And though our bodies physically die, our souls immediately go to be with the Lord, awaiting the resurrection. And then on that final day when Jesus returns, we enter into resurrection life to all enjoyment of God and the new creation forevermore. So God is not only leading you, he protects you. God protects you from death itself. Whatever evils fall upon you in this life, however you are sinned against, however you suffer, it is all temporary and it is all defeated. Jesus has won. And Jesus has won in the battle against death for you, to save you, to save his sheep, to comfort his sheep, to comfort you. God is the shepherd who leads his sheep, but God also protects his sheep. You remember the words of Jesus there in John 10. Again, speaking out of this shepherd metaphor, where Jesus says that no one is able to snatch a sheep out of his hand. Death itself, COVID-19, any other distress that falls upon you, none of it is capable of harming you in any ultimate sense. Because if you are a Christian, you will rise from the dead on the last day with Jesus. Jesus has conquered death, and only its shadow remains. And David, looking at God's leadership, his protection, David finally looks at how God provides for him. And this forward-looking nature of God's shepherding work concludes the psalm in verses 5 and 6. David says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." David, again, David has enemies. David has things that distress him and threaten him in this life. But he sees God's protection, that God provides for him even in the midst of his enemies. The shepherd protects the sheep, and God protects you. And David recognizes that God provides abundantly for what he needs. God sets a table before him. He anoints his head with oil. David's cup overflows in verse 5, leading him to conclude in verse 6, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." This is the hope of the Christian, that because God is with you all the days of your life, goodness and mercy follow you all the days of your life. And again, this doesn't mean that every day in our present life is the way that we want it to be. It means that a good and merciful God is with you every step of the way. On the good days and the bad days, the days where you feel spiritually strong and the days where you seem to be unable even to stop yourself from committing sins you know you shouldn't do. God is with you every step of the way, not in anger and wrath, but if you are a Christian, in goodness and mercy. The Lord is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and the blood of Jesus covers all of your sins. And you notice there in verse 6 how the hope that you have with God as your shepherd is a dual hope. It's a hope for this life. Goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. That's this present life that you are living in the valley of the shadow of death, where God protects you and leads you. So in this life, the hope of the Christian is God is with you, and goodness and mercy will follow you through all of the good and all of the evil days. But the hope doesn't end in this life. It extends into the life to come. David says in verse 6, "I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." The hope of the Christian is that God is your shepherd both in this life and to all eternity in the life to come. This is a psalm that looks both to God's comfort and protection in this life, but ultimately concludes that it is God's leading into the next life that secures all of our hope. David knows he will dwell in the Lord's house forever. When we are in glory, when you are in the resurrection, you will be with God forever and ever. And this is the hope that is secured for you by Jesus in his resurrection. Jesus didn't remain dead in a tomb, but he rose from the dead. And because Jesus lives, you also will live with him. The future for the Christian is bright. You might not be thinking about that right now. You might be thinking about the difficulties of the coming week. And if that's what's on your mind this morning, I ask you to look a little bit beyond that. And I ask you to look to what God has secured for you. God has secured for you a future of goodness and life and mercy, where you will dwell with him forever. And until you get there, God does not leave you. God is not a distant God, far away from all of your struggles. No, God is the shepherd who is right there with you, right there leading you, protecting you, providing for you, comforting you, showing you goodness and mercy, showering his steadfast love upon you because the blood of his son Jesus covers you. And when God looks upon you, he sees his beloved son or his beloved daughter. Despite all of our sins, despite all of our unbelief, all of our wickedness, God has chosen to call us his sheep, to make us his people, and to lead us into green pastures. Brothers and sisters, in the midst of society being turned upside down right now, I invite you to take time today, take time even this week to calm yourself by reflecting on the Lord as your shepherd. He is leading you. He comforts you. He protects you. His goodness and mercy follow you today, tomorrow, and all of our days. And the end that God is leading all of his sheep to is resurrection life, where we will dwell in the house of God forever, enjoying him and enjoying the new creation to all eternity. All of this is freely given of his grace in his son Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, who laid down his life to save sinners such as us. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that in Jesus we have your sure promise that you are our good shepherd, that we do not need to fear evil, even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We do not need to be afraid, because you are with us always, and because Jesus has conquered death by his resurrection on the third day. Give to us your abiding comfort as we look to Jesus, our faithful, merciful, and mighty Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen.